Support for OPB comes from our members and from our sponsors, like Tracy Ray from the employment law firm of Baron Liebman. Tracy says that OPB sponsorship is a great way to support the community and connect with Baron Liebman's clients.
This is Think Out Loud on OPB. I'm Dave Miller. Not too long ago, Oregon Governor Tina Kotek said she was considering line item vetoes for 7 local infrastructure projects. She said she wanted each of them to show that they would lead to new housing development and do so quickly. $14 million in state funding was at stake. Last week, she announced that all the projects would, in fact, get their money. Shady Cove is one of the cities that could breathe a sigh of relief. It's a city of roughly 3,200 people in Jackson County. It's in line to get $1.5 million for a municipal water system. John Ball is the Shady Cove mayor. He joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
How would you describe the housing situation in Shady Cove right now?
Very stagnant. We're a smaller community. We're actually shrinking in size in the last 10 years. Very stagnant growth. And the developments that we had underway that had been approved and zoned properly need water to be finished, to be built.
Well, let's hear more about that. Because so as I noted, the governor really wanted to know two things before she would agree to not line item veto these out. Would this result in the production of new housing, and could it happen quickly? So let's take that first one. How would a municipal water system in Shady Cove itself lead to more housing?
We literally have lots that are waiting for homes that have no water.
And no way to dig a well in those?
Wells in the whole state of Oregon are going to become harder and harder to dig. I mean, and in our area, we have thousands of wells, and they are going dry constantly. They're dug 400 or 500 feet, and they never hit water. So wells are very, very iffy. When they do hit water, a lot of time in this area, it's arsenic, really bad sulfuric water. So wells are not the answer. In fact, the Oregon Health Authority is trying to get people away from the wells as much as possible. So
what kinds of units are you talking about here that are ready to go as soon as they get water?
In this case, they're going to be single family dwellings, maybe one set of duplexes, but most of them will be single family dwellings, and not high end, but mostly low to middle income type housing.
Low to middle income, but market rate housing, single family homes.
Correct.
And what's the timeline that you're looking at? Because that was another big issue that the governor wanted to know. I mean, I think if you said these will be up in 8 years, I get the sense she wouldn't have given you the $1.5 million. So what is a reasonable timeline?
We're hoping to have those built within a year to 18 months, to have the first ones done and ready for people to move into and live in.
And you've talked directly with developers to actually get that timeline.
Correct.
What kind of a guarantee can they give you? There's so many issues that crop up when you're talking about any development, even a relatively small one. I mean, what do you hear from them?
Well, for the developers, it's even more of a risk right now with the cost of construction going up almost daily. they've lost money over the last 4 or 5 years by us not being able to furnish water for them. So they're not real happy to begin with, but they also know that they need to develop these properties that have already been zoned, allocated, they have electrical, sewer, everything's there. So they need to develop them. They can't really give us a guarantee. So all we can do is work with the state and try to allocate the money they give us directly to what's going to get the homes built the fastest.
Did these developers, were they just assuming all along that somehow the city would be able to put in a municipal water supply? I mean, it's been many years that folks have been talking about this. I'm curious from the developer's perspective, what their plan was, say, absent the legislature coming through.
They were probably just going to sit on the land. And, you know, I mean, we even have in the southern part of the city, we have a new developer that's looking at 90 apartment complexes. And we have a water main just right near him that's privately owned, but it is part of the public right of way. And we could finish, we're looking at possibly helping him with the finishing of the infrastructure there to break ground in the next year or two on 90 apartments, which would be incredible for this area.
Hmm. How much would the water treatment plant cost in total?
You know, the last feasibility study was not an in-depth one. It was, but you're looking upwards north of 50 million, easy, north of 50 million.
But we're talking, about $1.5 million in state help right now, right? And you're saying
right.
50 million total.
Probably that or more. Yeah.
So what can you actually do with the 1.5 million?
Get the first homes built. You know, that's our first step. Without them, we haven't had new homes. Like I say, our population is actually shrinking, like a lot of rural Oregon.
I feel like I'm just missing something basic here, but I thought that the homes couldn't be built because they didn't have the municipal water supply. But you're saying the municipal water supply system will cost $50 million. So I'm wondering how you could then, how the homes could be built with the help of only $1.5 million.
Because some of the infrastructure is already there. So we just have to use it to finish the infrastructure to those developments.
So, and so that's not a whole water system of say filtering and providing clean water, but it's just some pipes to existing clean water.
Correct. That's the infrastructure, i.e. infrastructure to the homes that the developers were not going to invest their money in.
And then
that we as a city can invest the money into to allow them to build.
And then in the future, with other money, you could build a new drinking water system to provide water citywide. Is that's the ultimate dream?
Correct. Correct.
What options did you have if this project had been vetoed? I mean, we might have spoken last week when you were sending the packet of information responses to the governor's office. At that time, I mean, if she said, no, we've looked at your responses and we don't think this is a good use of these state funds right now, what options did you have?
Keep looking for money. Go to the federal end of it and see what we can find there. Because we need something to get us moving, something to move us forward. Because without more homes, without more population, you can't generate any money to move forward, whether it be for to fill a pothole or to lay groundwork and infrastructure for a water system.
In other words,
so, I mean, you can either dry up and go away, or you can try to figure a way to pay for it.
And putting a bond out, you're saying it wouldn't work because your tax base itself is shrinking.
Correct. So with a shrinking tax base and a very impoverished tax base, which much of rural Oregon is, you're not going to be seeing a lot of bonds going out. And the ones that do go out just get crushed. Not just from the small town itself, but when the school district last fall in this area put out a school bond, I think it was 75-25 no for this area. I mean, it was just absolutely hammered, crushed. Same thing with the jail a couple years ago, which is coming back out again this fall, and we'll get hammered, crushed again. No, the people are, they're tight in this area. In rural Oregon, people are going broke from taxes and fees.
But the governor did not strike this. So you do have access to the $1.5 million for this infrastructure. What's the current status right now of getting those state dollars so you can move forward?
You know, they changed it in the middle of the bill. Is from my understanding, these are all going to be prepaid of in one nature of another. You know, it's going to all go through Business Oregon now. And then that means that the small cities and everybody in this infrastructure bill will need to expend the money and then ask for reimbursement based on whether it qualifies or not.
Do you have the money? Do you have the cash to spend it first on this project and then get reimbursed from the state?
We'll have to take a lot of little bites instead of bigger ones. I wish they would have done it like they do to all the nonprofit for the addiction and the homeless and just give us the money. But I guess they're the only ones who know how to spend money without wasting it. Not the cities.
Sarcasm drips deeply. Yes. When you say
it should. It should. They hand out money to the recovery houses and the nonprofits with no questions asked. And they don't even audit it to see what it gets spent on. But
maybe
for cities, you better know exactly what it's going for.
That response, it gets to my next question, but I want to give you a chance to just address this more broadly. I'm curious what you think this whole experience says about the challenges that rural communities are facing right now when it comes to the statewide goal, necessity of more housing and more affordable housing.
Well, this is just my personal opinion. When I do speak to people, I tell them that the state is pushing people away from living rurally. They want them in cities. They want them in larger towns. And I do mean all the way down into like Medford. They want us to stop living rurally. They want us inside of the 15-minute city thing. And they're pushing hard to get it there. If they have to kill the rural communities, they will. You know, you'll have to from safety to water to even sewers and infrastructures. They're making it so hard to put in leach fields and your own septic tanks and things like that. It's almost impossible to get the permits now because of the state. So if you're not close enough to a sewer system of some sort, you can't build, you know. So they're not real rural friendly for a state that is only has what 4.5 million people in it or something like that. And they are not real rural friendly.
John Ball, thanks very much for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
John Ball is the mayor of the city of Shady Cove. Tomorrow on the show, a few years ago, a graduate student at the University of Washington opened about 200 cans of Alaskan salmon looking for tiny worms. Some of those cans were more than 40 years old. We'll hear what she found, and we'll learn why worms can actually tell us something about the health of marine ecosystems. If you don't want to miss any of our shows, you can listen on the NPR app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. Our nightly rebroadcast is at 8 p.m. Thanks very much for tuning in to Think Out Loud on OPB and KLCC. I'm Dave Miller. We'll be back tomorrow.
Think Out Loud is supported by Steve and Jan Oliva, the Rosie Tucker Charitable Trust, Ray and Marilyn Johnson, and the Susan Hammer Fund of the Oregon Community Foundation.